Hey now, Semper Fi, welcome into this Thursday edition, Back on Track Sports Talk here live at Hooters on Vets in Metairie, getting you set for the Saints Players Show tonight, coming up at 6 o'clock with wide receiver Keith Kirkwood, better known as Keith Kirkwood, according to the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Welcome in, phone lines are open at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Roy Cummings, Buccaneers insider for Pewter Report or PewterPirates.com, will join us at 435. Our view from Vegas with Vegas Runner at 5:10, brought to us by Harrah's Gulf Coast in Biloxi. Word from 6 to 7, and then Fantasy Frenzy coming your way with Kevin Payne at 7:20. Our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll online for you at WWL.com. Are you for or against expanding the college football playoff format from 4 teams to 6, 8? What's the happy medium? What's the magic number of teams? If you do want to expand, tell me the team. Should it be 6? Should it be 8? More than 8? And are you for or against the idea of expanding the college football playoffs? It's coming at some point in the near future. It's going to happen. You may be against it, but it's likely going to happen because of teams, what just happened over the weekend. Look at Georgia. A lot of folks felt like Georgia, who lost to LSU and lost to Alabama, should have gotten in the top four regardless over a team like Oklahoma. Even the case of Notre Dame. I know it. Notre Dame didn't play a conference championship. I'm not trying to bang on them. But my point, though, is that you're going to see these conversations start to matriculate and come to be. And you're going to see people advocate for expanding it to from 4 to 6 teams or 8 teams. I'm for expanding it because I think that it gives you the opportunity, because there might be a team sitting there at 6 that might have had 2 losses earlier in the year. Two losses earlier in the year or 1 loss late. And sitting there at 6, that really is a top 3 or top 4 team that could end up making a run at it. I think it causes a little bit more drama, or at least gives you the opportunity to have a little bit more drama in your college football playoff format. And right now, this is the issue I have with it, is that it looks like it's going to be Alabama and Clemson again. And we all know in college football, you know, one of the great things about it is that you can have one of these upsets, one of these crazy upsets. So say you had a team sitting at 8, and they were playing a 4, right? Or playing the 3, because the first 2 seeds would get a bye at that point in the first round. And it's not inconceivable to think an 8th-ranked team could beat a 3rd-ranked team. I mean, that's what the drama, that's what the intrigue would allow you. But it looks like we're on another collision course between Alabama and Clemson. And a big reason as to why it didn't happen, Oklahoma ended up getting in at 4, and Georgia didn't stay at 4. Yes, they lost to Alabama. Yes, they lost to LSU earlier in the year. But let's face it, Georgia's the only team that has hung with Alabama this year. They lost by 7 points. They were up by 14. They blew a 14-point lead. One bonehead decision about trying to fake punt on 4th-and-11 ultimately cost them a game. So they've been the only team so far in college football that has shown the country, hey, we can play with Alabama. They did that. And I would like to believe that they could have done it again had they met for a second time. But Oklahoma was deserving as well. But wouldn't you like to see the opportunity for another Georgia team to be able to get in there and perhaps see Alabama again down the road? And that's twice now that Georgia has played Alabama to the wire and lost in the very last minute, or the last quarter. So they're the only team in the last year that has consistently played them well and hung with them. But are we looking at another Clemson-Alabama rematch in the finals? The committee did not want 2 SEC teams in the top 4. It's just that's the way their thinking was. And some would agree with that. Some would say they got it right because Georgia doesn't belong in there because they got 2 losses. I just want to see the best teams. And I don't think that Oklahoma is necessarily a better team than Georgia, believe it or not. I know that they have 1 loss. I get all that. I don't think they're the better team, though. Where do you stand? 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Are you for or against expanding the college football playoff format from 4 teams to 6 or 8? We'll step away and come back for Patrick and Jeffrey. And you two at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. This is Sports Talk here on WWLAMFM.com. Live at Hooters on Vets. Come on out. Saints Players Show tonight, 6 to 7 p.m. Wide receiver Keith Kirkwood will be here at Hooters on Vets and Metairie. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Patrick in Ponchatoula. What's going on, Patrick? You're on Sports Talk on WWL.
Hey, Christian. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
A loaded question for that, because I like to see it go to six, the playoff. Two reasons. One, these players starting to hold out in the bowl games and showing us that they're starting to be viewed as meaningless. So we're going to have to do something for the entertainment value. Let these bowls become the playoff games. Other issues you got dealing on, we all hate the little cupcake games. So I like to see them play one less game in the season. That way the season ends earlier, and that takes care of football running into final week. And it also gives them their time off. And I love to see teams say, you know, 1 and 2 get a bye. You rank 1 and 2 get a bye, play the first game, the first round, the Saturday before Christmas, the second round, the Saturday after Christmas, and the last championship game is the Saturday after New Year's, because I don't want it running into my NFL playoffs.
Yeah, I'm with you, but I think I get that, because some NFL playoff games are on Saturdays, wild card weekend in particular. I like where your head is. I just think that if you're going to expand it to six, you might as well expand it to eight. Because how much difference is there from seven and eight to five and six in terms of what's the deciding line? Typically, if you're a top eight team, and there's usually big separation from nine back, 9 to 20, 20 to 25. There's usually big separation in the talent level of those teams.
Yeah, and you know what? And I'm not married to the six. I was just trying to give a benefit to 1 and 2. You know, busting your butt to get it. I also go back to who should those people be? Should it be the five champs to give some credibility to winning your conference, you know, and then one at large or three at larges if we go to eight? Because the bowl games are becoming meaningless, and if we don't start paying attention, the bowls don't start paying attention. Before they know it, everybody's going to be asking, well, why did nobody come?
Yeah, and you touched on something earlier, Patrick, that I don't know if you and I will agree on. You know, some of these star players skipping bowl games for the NFL draft, and one in particular, LSU defensive back Greedy Williams. And we talked about that, me and Bobby did, back on Tuesday, and I wrote about it online at WWL.com. Let's face it, whether you like it or not, these players, if they know that they're a top 10 pick, they're not going to play in college bowl games and risk injury. Too many cases and examples. Jalen Smith of Notre Dame a few years ago, now playing with the Dallas Cowboys. He was going to be a first-round draft pick, ended up going in the second round because he tore up his knee in a bowl game. They're not going to risk that. When they know they got $4, $5 million, would you risk it? If you know in 5 months you're going to make $4 to $5 million, as long as you stay healthy, are you going to risk that? No, I wouldn't either. So I get it. Fans get angry with these players, and they shouldn't be, though. They just shouldn't be. They've earned that right to go now protect themselves. And look, we don't know the financial status of each one of those kids' families. Some of them need that player to declare a pro right away so they can provide for their household or their family. They might have a kid already. The parents might not be doing well. They might be wanting to get their mom out of a bad situation. You just don't know. So I have no problem with some of these players that know that they're going to be a first-round pick or second-round pick. They know what their slotted pay scale is going to be, and they forego a bowl game to make sure that they're going to protect that money. I'd do the same thing. I would encourage my son to do the same thing. That might not be the popular thing. The Marine in me says, yeah, you got to be there for your team, your school, your fans. The capitalist in me says, hey, go make as much money as you can. Maximize your earning potential. Jeffrey on the West Bank. What's going on, Jeffrey? You're on WWL.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. There's a catch-22 with all this playoff talk. And the thing is the SEC. The SEC, the past 10, 15, 12 years has just dominated. Just come on the scene and dominated. And this has upset the blue bloods of college football. When Nebraska, Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame, USC, when they were dominating, and Miami, when they were dominating, there was no problem. Nobody was yelling for a playoff system. Now the SEC is starting to dominate with Florida, went back-to-back. Alabama, Auburn goes, LSU goes. And Georgia's coming up. Alabama's got five. Now we seem to have a problem. Now we want a playoff. We want more. That's what the core of this whole thing is about. The SEC's dominance. And the whole, if you notice from when the season started, they're trying to look. How can we eliminate certain SEC teams from the? How can we keep Ohio State in it? From the time that the game starts, I mean the season starts. Where's Ohio State? We want to keep Ohio. That tells you right there. There's a lot of powerful people who want Ohio State in it at all times.
Jeffrey, you're not off base too far. That's for sure. Because look, there was conversations about should Ohio State creep back in? I mean, there's a lot of people that felt like you could have catapulted Ohio State in there. Now, Notre Dame is the one that kind of crashed the the college football playoff party, because they're an independent, they don't play a conference championship game, and they're in the top four. But it could be, Jeffrey, about the SEC. I won't totally step on your argument there. And that's what some of these schools want. They want balance. But have we gotten the true parity that we expected when we went to the college football playoffs? It's been Alabama and Clemson. Alabama and Clemson. Alabama and Georgia. Gray and Harvey, what's going on, Gray? You're on Sports Talk on WWL. Thanks for the phone call, Jeffrey. Go ahead, Gray.
Hey, how you doing, K-Dog? Hey, good, how you man. Doing, K-Dog? Enjoy your work,
good.
Man.
I love your name.
Ha, ha, ha. Former military myself, Army National Guard. But the idea I'm thinking, you got me thinking, I wouldn't mind seeing 6 or 8 teams at college playoffs, but I would love to see that in the NFL. Imagine a true wild card weekend where you have none but the wild card teams beat each other up in the first week of the playoffs, where all four divisional winners have that week off and have a true divisional round.
I don't agree with you. I don't want to change the format currently in the NFL. I think it's almost perfect. It's as perfect as you can get.
I understand where you're coming from. Yeah, I'll follow you. And one more point, and I know you're busy. Now, the last game with the Saints against Dallas, remind me of the game when Bobby played as the quarterback when they played against the Rams, I think, in 89 and 90, where the Rams had that Eagle defense. And the first time they played them, the offense had trouble against that defense. And that kind of reminded me of the Saints against Dallas, that Dallas had a scheme that the offense probably didn't see much of and was cut off guard. And I got a feeling if they see him again in the playoffs, that the Saints offense would do 10 times better than it did the first time they played him in Dallas.
Gray, thanks for the phone call. Thanks for your service. I don't know if it was scheme, Gray. I think some of it was the idea that you watch them on film, you don't get an appreciation for just how physical a team might play or how fast they might play when you're watching them on tape. That's just something it's hard to measure until you see it up close and personal. And what I saw last Thursday was a Dallas Cowboys defense that was every bit as physical as you could be in today's NFL. And some of it was marginal. But I don't think it was scheme. I think you got to tip your cap to the – it is scheme, obviously. That's a part of it. But the athleticism, physicality of the Dallas Cowboys defense and the tackling is something that's rarely seen in today's NFL. Going behind enemy lines, getting a preview on the Bucks next, and also some foul weather potentially this weekend for the game in Tampa. Roy Cummings will join us, Buccaneers insider from PewterPirates.com. If you're on hold, sit tight. Coming back for more of your phone calls, Lewis, Bill, and Dylan, and you two at 504-260-1870. Do you want to expand the college football playoffs? 4 teams to 6 to 8? What's the cutoff line and why? Are you against it or for it? This is Sports Talk here on WWLAMFM.com. Live at Hooters on Vets and Metairie, getting ready for the Players Show, coming up with Keith Kirkwood at 6 o'clock. Come on out, get your picture taken. Autograph with Keith Kirkwood. Roy Cummings joining us now for Behind Enemy Lines, Bucks insider for PewterPirates.com. Roy, I don't know about you, but I'm keeping a close eye on the weather, and it's supposed to be nasty on Sunday.
Yeah, here we got a cold front moving through. Sometimes those things can get pretty ugly, so we'll see what happens. But it's kind of sometimes it evens things up a little bit. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, that weather could end up being a factor in this one, especially for the kickers, I guess.
Is there any chance that the weather might be too bad where you could be facing or looking at a potential delay or even moving it to Monday?
No, I don't think that'll be the case. We do get those kind of storms in the summertime. We get it during preseason for sure and sometimes in the first month of the year. But usually the kind of storms that move through this time of year do not have a lot of lightning with them. It's not your typical Florida storm. It's sort of a typical northern kind of storm. Usually there might be a lot of wind, a lot of rain, but there won't be a lot of lightning and that kind of thing. And that's usually what forces the delay. So, like I said, it could get sloppy, but I don't think we'll be looking at a delay of any kind.
Roy, pardon my my poor question here, and it's kind of a piggyback off of Seinfeld, but are the Buccaneers mutters?
You know what? I guess my Seinfeld history isn't good enough to understand what that means.
Do they like the mutters? In other words, I was trying to ask, Roy. I was trying to.
Did you say mutters or mothers?
Well, it's from Seinfeld. Anyway, it's mutter, like playing in the mud.
Mutters. I'm an old baseball player. I always had a pair of mutters. So,
gotcha.
I don't think they are. I'll say no because they're not a real grinded out kind of team. I mean, they're a team that wants to throw the ball and throw it downfield, and they want the speed. So, I'm going to say no. They're not mutters. I would think that would not benefit them at all. It might benefit the defense a little bit if the game got that way. But I think if it's a muddy field, but here's the other thing. Raymond James Stadium's a real good track. So it drains extremely well. You can have some real bad rain, and you won't even notice it. So I don't think we'll have to worry about the track being too muddy. And that's good for the Bucs because they are not mutters. They're a team that they want good conditions because they want to use that talent at the wide receiver position to try to score a lot of points.
Roy Cummings, Buccaneers insider for PewterPirates.com at R Cummings, FHCN on Twitter. And Roy, getting into the Buccaneers two-game winning streak, and they fired Mike Smith earlier in the year. This Bucs defense is a little different. Looks like they're a little bit more energized.
Yeah, they are. I think they're a lot healthier, too. I think that's a big part of it. And they understand what they're doing. That was really the biggest issue with Mike Smith was not so much the energy, but the fact that the players, all the new guys that came in, including a bunch of rookies that wound up playing in the secondary, the veterans who were playing up front, they didn't understand the scheme very well. It's been simplified a lot since then. That was part of the problem was that the scheme was very complex. But it's been simplified, which allows you to play a little bit faster. And when you understand it, you're going to play faster. So they're playing with more energy, but they're playing a lot faster. That's the real key to it all. And, like I said, they're a lot healthier now up front. Vinnie Curry's back, and he's healthy. Vita Vea's back, and he's healthy. That was their number one pick. Jason Pierre-Paul just, continues to fight through things. And, obviously, Gerald McCoy is healthy. So you've got a healthy bunch up front, some guys in the secondary who have a better understanding of what it is they're supposed to do, and I think you combine that and you just see a faster and more energized level of play.
Roy, 3 weeks ago we would have never talked about the Buccaneers being on the outside, in the hunt, if you will, for a playoff berth, but they're sitting there, especially with the slide of the Panthers right now, having lost four straight. I would imagine the confidence this football team is pretty high, in particular Jameis Winston not turning the ball over in two straight games.
Yeah, they've been riding a pretty good wave of confidence here the last couple of weeks. It started, obviously 2 weeks ago. Look, they only beat the San Francisco 49ers, but when you win and you win rather handily and you play a good, solid game overall, it's going to boost your confidence. And they carried that over into the game last week, and they're hoping that they can carry it over again into this week's game. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, the real key there is Jameis Winston. He's kind of flipped the switch again. He's done this before. When he first came into the league, his first four games, he had seven or eight interceptions. Then at the beginning of the second season, his second season, again, seven or eight interceptions over a four-game period. This year, 10 interceptions over a four-game period. And, you know, he just has this ability to kind of just, you know, kind of turn that off and be a much better, smarter player who doesn't take so many risks. The key is, when is he going to turn that switch and flip that switch permanently and not fall back into the same old bad habits? That's kind of what everybody's waiting for is, okay, it's been two games. Is the third game the one where he falls back into the bad habits, or is it going to be, you know, game four or five? It's likely to happen. And if it does happen, the question is, can he get himself out of it again, or does he continue to take, some risks that he probably should? That's the real key with Jameis Winston.
Live at Hooters on Vets and Metairie. Here's where you can find us getting ready for the Players Show. Keith Kirkwood will join us at 6 o'clock. Hooters on Vets and Metairie, our home each and every Thursday during the football season. To the phones we go. Do you want to expand college football? What's the magic number? Is it 6? Is it 8? 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Bill in Birmingham, Alabama. What's going on, Bill? You're on Sports Talk on WWL.
Hey, Christian. Enjoy your show every Thursday on my way home.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Hey, listen, the college football thing, you know, you can call it fake. I call it the money mafia, but it's so subjective. I'll give you an example. Notre Dame, in my opinion, they have no business in the top four, but it's about the money. I mean, look, can you imagine for a minute if Georgia or LSU was independent? Where would they be right now playing the three service academies?
Here's the thing, though, Bill. I get where you're going because Notre Dame didn't play and win a conference title, right? That's a bit of this conversation. But let me remind you, Alabama last year did not play in the SEC championship game and still played in the college football playoffs.
But look who they play during the year.
No,
and it's all about the money.
I'm with you, Bill.
But I have a way you could fix it. Now, with the money mafia, it would probably take congressional law to make it happen because they're so powerful money-wise with these Power Five conferences. But if you could pass a law, now, even though I'm not a lawyer or anything, where no college or conference could receive any money, that the NCAA received all the money, and they equally divided the money between every Division One school that plays football, then everybody would be money-wise on an even playing field. And right away it wouldn't, because the schools are rich, like the Alabamas, the LSUs, the Ohio States, the Notre Dames. But after about 5 years, there they'd be on an even playing field money-wise, and it would make college better. But as far as going to a 6 or 8, it's so fake, I say just go back to the old way. Play the bowls and let them pick them. Pick who's number one like they used to. That's how they do it anyway.
I can't get on board, Bill. You're making some good points, but I can't get on board, Bill, with the idea of going back to the BCS system. I mean, that was more of an issue than we're currently dealing with now. And that's another part of this conversation, another antenna off this conversation we'll throw into the mix here. Would you like to go back to the BCS? Which one bothers you the most? The current playoff format of four teams, or the way the BCS did it before the playoff system came about? Which, if you could go back to the BCS, would you? Or would you stick with the current format? If the choice was stay at four no matter what, or go back to BCS, the BCS format. Tell me at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. This is Sports Talk here on WWL, AMFMN.com. Live at Hooters on Vets and Metairie. Coming up next hour, 5:10. Vegas Runner, View from Vegas. Back on our normal schedule. Each and every Thursday is where you can find us at Hooters on Vets and Metairie. Dylan in Biloxi. What's going on, Dylan? You're on WWL.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can, Dylan. Go ahead.
Hey, I got a solution for y'all to fix your playoff system.
All right.
You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. You know how we play the regular schedule?
Uh-huh.
You play 10 games. Let's say you play 10 or 12. So at the end of the season, whatever your last game and whatever you're ranking, that just go with the top four. Don't worry about the conference games, because conference is just for your conference. Conference got nothing. nothing to do with the national.
That's taking a step back. I mean, that's taking a step back. That's not how it should be. You got to have a conference game, and I think that's why some people are upset the fact that Alabama last year played in a national championship game, having not won their conference, and Notre Dame being in the top five this year or top four this year, having not played in a conference title game. So that would be a step back.
I understand, but I'm just saying is that way we don't have to worry about who ranked, you know, who should be and who should not be in the Final Four, because if you play your scheduled games and then you look at the string of your schedule and whatever you rank at the last game,
Dylan,
that you play, yeah.
But, Dylan, to think that you're not going to have debate if you take out the conference title games is a little bit naive. You're still going to have that debate. I think you'll have more debate if you don't have a conference title game.
Well, I mean, look at Georgia. If they have to beat Alabama in the conference game, they'll be in the top four. That's what I'm saying.
A team like Oklahoma, I just don't think that getting rid of the conference championship games is the answer. I mean, and again, it goes down to expanding it. Six teams, eight teams, you might get a better field in the playoffs.
I understand, but what I'm saying, when you extend to eight teams, it's still going to be the number nine team. It's still like, okay, I should be in the spot number eight. You see what I'm saying? It don't matter how many.
Yeah, but
it'll get better, but the number nine team is still going to complain, oh, I should be in the spot number eight. That's why.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're not going to be able to avoid that. But I guess what I'm saying is I'm not worried about who feels like they should be in the top four right now. It is what it is. But I think that if you expand the playoffs to eight, you're going to get a little bit more drama and intrigue in it, especially if you can get to where it's like an NCAA basketball. I'm not talking about a field of 64, but
that's a lot of games.
No. I'm not talking about that. What I mean though is that the upsets. What do we love about March Madness is because a 16 seed had never beaten a 1 seed until recently, and right. A 15 seed, a 12 seed taking down a 5 seed. That's what adds to March Madness. That's what makes the NCAA basketball tournament, in my opinion, the best tournament in college sports, because there's intrigue, there's drama like that, there's the Cinderellas, and with the top four teams, you're not going to have a Cinderella. It'd be cool if you expand the field and maybe there is a Cinderella, a seven ends up winning the national title. I think that would be good for college football instead of sitting at four, with all four of these teams I think are capable of potentially winning a national title. But I got a feeling we're looking at Alabama and Clemson again in the national championship game, so that doesn't bode well. Just like in the NBA, what's the big argument with the NBA? It's always the Warriors. It's always the Warriors. It's predictable. It's becoming predictable in college football. Clemson and Alabama, you know it almost year in and year out. It's not too much fun. Dylan, thanks for the phone call. John and Thibodeau, John and Mandeville, sit tight. You're up next hour. Also, our view from Vegas with Vegas Runner here live at Hooters on Vets in Metairie. It is Sports Talk on WWL AMFM.com.